Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
Oh, yeah. That's why, like when I started, it was easy to get started. But along the way, I can't even count all the mistakes I've made and how many, you know, setbacks they've been. You're always learning.
That's cool.
And
I love
that. You have to have the setback in order to have made the right decision and have the right knowledge. A failure will teach you what not to do next. Mm-hmm. And yep. If you have enough of them early on, you'll be very successful.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sell or Die podcast, the global premier personal development and sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and my newest book, The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. We are interviewing leaders in business, sales, and personal development to give you the strategies it takes to make more sales and make more money.
Strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear them.
In a manifesto moment?
Well, no, more like in a New York Minute.
Oh, then. Thank you to all the diehards out there supporting us with listens and five-star reviews. Reviews like this one.
This one is from Kevin. Kevin writes, Jeffrey and Jen don't sell this podcast short. Great content, great guests, and relevant to where I am in my career. Keep it up.
Be a star on Sell or Die. Leave your own review. Come on. Go to your computer right now. Go to iTunes right now and write down, type down, talk down exactly how you feel about this podcast and how it might affect others.
All right. I want you to enjoy today's show. Take notes and tell us what you think on our Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group.
All right. Let's get to it. It's time to sell or die.
Anton Kraley has been a serial entrepreneur for over a decade. In 2013, he started Dropship Lifestyle to teach people how to create profitable e-commerce businesses by leveraging high-ticket drop shipping. The course is so successful that it was voted best e-commerce course by Shopify in 2018. And now it's his time in the Sell or Die spotlight. Diehards, help me welcome Anton Kraley.
Yay!
Woo, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, that was the audience giving you a standing ovation. I want to find out something, though, about the drop shipping.
Mm-hmm.
I was in New Zealand, and I went to a furniture store. And I love the furniture. It's the red furniture that we have in 319.
Oh, yeah. I love that furniture.
And they said, oh, we get it from China. And they drop shipped it to America.
Yep.
And sure enough, it showed up, you know, like a month or two later. And that was about 10 years ago. And the furniture needs to be replaced. Can we get more stuff from China drop shipped?
You can. What I would say about that is it's definitely a viable business. Not exactly how we do things here. We work with domestic suppliers. Uh-huh. But if you wanted to, you could definitely yourself just go to a website like Alibaba.com and look for different sofas you like, reach out to the suppliers, and they'll ship it to you anywhere.
So
Alibaba,
that's cool.
Isn't that the guy that lived in the...
The genie?
Jack Ma.
Huh? So, I love that guy. Does the lamp come with it?
Yeah, have to pay extra.
Oh, man. All right, let's back up for a second. How did you get into this e-commerce world and what lured you to drop shipping?
Yeah. So back in way back in 2006.
Oh my God, that's so far back. I can't even remember that.
So far back.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, I was just out of school and I actually bought a business. So not an online business, but I bought a delivery route for a bakery in Brooklyn, New York. I was living on Long Island at the time. And basically I spent $25,000 for a truck and the rights to drive into Brooklyn, pick up cookies and sell them to grocery stores on Long Island. Was doing that not for long, maybe for a month or so. And that is when a book came out called The 4-Hour Workweek, super famous book. Read it pretty much right away. It talked about e-commerce, the fact that anybody that's not technical could build a website for $29. And I thought, you know what? Let me try. I had cookies. So I made a website called NewYorkCookieShop.com. And within a few weeks, that website was making more money than that business I spent $25,000 on. So from there, I just kind of became obsessed with e-commerce, kept building more and more stores.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
So
in other words, there's no sense driving a truck into Brooklyn if you can go to the post office.
Yeah, no more traffic, no more dealing with store managers, just literally sitting in my apartment, checking orders coming in, running traffic and making more money. So I said, okay, this works. This is for me.
Okay, so.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't you miss the fuck you as a greeting part?
Yeah. I was over it the day it started.
So that's pretty incredible. And you make it sound super easy.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that led to that business's success and your success?
So to be honest, back then with that business was very, very easy to start. One of the things that I would say helped is that I did have the relationship with this bakery. So I had the product. They were reputable, been around for decades and decades and decades. So I was able to have access to that product. And also back then, that was when Google AdWords just was not competitive at all. So I was able to simply set up some basic ads, targeting people that were not in New York. And basically I made ads for people that searched for cookies and it would say like Miss New York Bakeries or, want products straight from New York Bakeries, click here to order. So it really didn't take much back then. Now things since then have got more competitive and got more complex, but that was successful right away.
What was the most popular order? Was it like black and white cookies?
No, chocolate cookies.
So there was we sold like these like mixed boxes of like a little of everything, like these variety packs. And I remember it was right around Christmas and a hospital placed an order for like their whole staff. And I remember it came in and I was like, is this real? Because back then that was my biggest order at the time. It was, I think like, I don't even know, maybe 70, 80 boxes of cookies. And yeah, that was the biggest.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is cool. And what transitioned you out of that?
So after running that business for a few months, I was thinking like, okay, I'm selling these things. My average order value was maybe 20, 30 bucks because cookies aren't expensive. And then I thought, if I could do this, why can't I sell products that are more money and make more money per sale? So back then, that's actually when I first found the website Alibaba and went on Alibaba.com, started looking at expensive items like furniture, different household goods. And then I made another website listing those products and was able to sell them as well. And once I started making, $300, $400 net profit per sale.
Were you able to get more than $25,000 for it?
Sold that business and then just focused on these high ticket products.
Were you able to get more than $25,000 for it?
Yeah, I actually got my money just back on that. I kept the business, the website for a little bit because the person that was buying it just wanted the route.
That's okay. At least you got your money back.
That's what they wanted and pretty much just broke even on that.
And so talk to us. That's
pretty cool.
About your current high ticket items.
Yep.
Yeah. And so talk to us now about your current high ticket items. What does that look like?
Yeah. So the way that we do it is we build very niche specific stores. So again, let's keep going with furniture. We have office furniture. We sell things like different lighting and each of those different niches gets its own store. So not just one product per store, but one product type. That's something that really helps us give, a better experience to the shopper. And we can pretty much just put everything they would possibly want on that website without distracting them. Now, what I used to do was actually import from China because I didn't know about dropshipping. So I had containers coming in from Shenzhen in China. China to New Jersey and to Long Beach in California. Now, the way we do it is we find companies that manufacture products like this, either overseas or in the States themselves. If they do it overseas, they already bring them into the States. Mm-hmm. They have them in their own warehouses. So we're able to advertise, get sales, and then those different partners are fulfilling the orders. So they're shipping them direct to our customers.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, Mr. Gino Barbaro.
The Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast catalogs our journey to becoming financially free through multifamily real estate investing.
Gang, each week we interview a guest specifically chosen for their expertise in and around multifamily real estate.
We talk you through our entire process, every victory and every misstep and everything that we've learned along the way.
What does that look like? Buy right, manage right, and finance right.
The audio podcast is available wherever fine podcasts are found.
Or check us out on our YouTube page where you'll find tons of other great content.
So speaking of Amazon and that kind of service, we have a lot of diehards who are now competing with Amazon for their business. And so what would you tell them that they should do to really set themselves apart from what they could get on Amazon?
So it's all about, again, product selection. With Amazon, their sweet spot really are items that are like $200 or less, besides electronics. Some people buy some electronics from there. I know I do, like buy my computer monitors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the type of stuff that we sell and that I would recommend selling, usually the average order value is $1,000 or more. And the items are typically big and heavy and bulky. And because of that, it doesn't make sense right now for Amazon to have them in their warehouses. So we're really not directly competing with them. We're still kind of outside of their sweet spot. That might change, you know, in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years, I don't know. But right now, these more expensive, big and heavy items are really, it's just not cost efficient to have them stored at Amazon. So there's not many people competing there.
Huh. So like, give us an example of some of the products.
Sure. So things like, you know, again, stand-up desks, things like range hoods for kitchens, things like wood flooring, you know, just different like styles and boxes of it. You could do things like, you know, clawfoot bathtubs. We have people selling horse saddles, you know, different lighting for like audio visual setups when people are building out like little studios in their homes. So really anything that's kind of, I would say is like bigger, more expensive, and also something that's a little bit more like obscure that you couldn't just go down the street and find, at least not in every style or variation. So an example I would give is like, let's say you move into a new house and you want a new chandelier and you know exactly what you want that chandelier to look like, what color, what size. And then you go to Home Depot or Lowe's and you see they have a few chandeliers, but definitely not what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. That's something that you'd be drawn to the internet to try to find.
So you wouldn't go to the Bowery in New York City and just walk up and down the street and look for a chandelier?
Yep. Do that if you're close. But a lot of people just go online, Google it, and then they don't care what brand it comes from. They just care if it matches what they have in their mind or what they saw.
That's very true. There's no brand loyalty in those big ticket items.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
And so that creates a successful niche for you and you're happy with it?
Definitely.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell me, what's happening tomorrow?
So right now, some of the biggest opportunities that we're seeing is with videos on YouTube for our marketing. So back in the day, we would never like touch video marketing for our e-commerce stores because we don't see or touch the products that we sell. But what's happening now is since YouTube is the number two search platform behind Google, people are going there and they're looking for products or they're just there to watch videos for entertainment. So what we do, since again, we don't have these products, is basically make slideshows. So like a keynote presentation where we talk about different businesses we have. We talk about different products. We talk about why consumers should choose us. And we run them against search terms for our products. And then we run them as those in-stream ads when people are just back on YouTube watching their next video. And that's something that's been very, very cost effective for us and driving a lot of sales.
Hmm.
And so that's one of the things like we wouldn't have done in the past, but is working now. And I can only see growing.
Do you send links out to that or do they somehow find you?
So they originally, what happens is they'll find us. So they'll go on Google, and let's just say somebody goes on Google and searched for a chandelier. They see one of our ads that we're paying Google for. They click that, they go to our website, and we have about a 2.5% conversion rate. So the 97.5% of people that leave, if they go on YouTube within the next 14 days and they're watching a video, when they see an ad, they'll see an ad from us saying, hey, we know you checked out our store. Here's what we offer. Here's who we are. Here's why you should choose us. And then that video has a link on it the whole time, driving them back.
Wow. I love that.
No, it's pretty scary, actually. You can predict that someone's going to buy from you by a number, correct?
Oh, yeah.
If 28 people look at it, I know I'm going to get 7 orders.
Yeah, it's all a numbers game. That's another mistake people kind of make also with this type of business. Like, more than anything, you're a marketer when you run one of these stores. So you need good copy on your website. You need good ads bringing new people on. You need really good remarketing, bringing people back. You need to be building an email list and sending different promotions to your people. It's marketing. That's how you have a successful store.
So if someone wanted to get started in this, but they don't have a passion for a specific item like the ones you mentioned, but they feel like this could be a really good business opportunity for them, where would they get started? Like, what would they do first?
The way that we basically do our research is just through Google. There are like paid tools out there. I don't recommend them. Same thing with supplier directories that say, if you pay us X amount of dollars per month, we'll give you access to these products. I don't recommend that either. So what we do and what I would recommend doing is going on Google, typing in that product type that you're interested in. Let's just say it was horse saddles. If you think, you know what, horse saddles are expensive. There's lots of different colors and styles. People want them. I would go on Google. I would search for that. Then I would try to find all of the different websites that are selling them that do not have retail locations. The way that I check that is by going to their About Us pages, going to their contact pages, and seeing if they have an address. You're trying to find the ones that don't have addresses, because that most likely means that they're drop shipping. And from there, you're trying to see what brands they're selling for. And typically, they just post that on their website because they want people to know the brands they're selling for. From there, you just reach out to those brands. So again, go on Google, type in the brand name, find their website, pick up the phone, call them and say, hey, this is Anton calling from antonshorsesaddles.com. Who can I speak to about opening an online account? So really, that's the starting point.
Oh, wow.
So diehards, here's a guy who has just given you what it took him 10 years to figure out. He gave it to you in about 2.5 minutes. If you're looking to go out on your own, if you're looking to try to start an online business, you've just been given the formula. Why don't you give it a shot? Or call Anton. I'm sure he'll sell you his consulting services.
He has a course. Don't you have a course on all this?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's it called?
DropshipLifestyle.com.
Oh, my God. DropshipLifestyle.com. And can you drop ship yourself down to Charlotte for a couple of days?
I was actually just down in the area like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I was looking. We were thinking about moving up in Cornelius, so we were looking at homes up there.
You know, Cornelius is a real good place except for traffic.
Yep. That's the good thing, though. We'll get an office down the street. Don't have to drive into the city.
No. The city is where things happen. Cornelius is where you can eat at a Wendy's.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Oh, no.
Isn't that like near the lake? I don't really know Charlotte geography. In New York, they make it easy. You go from
Nada lives up there.
Second
you live
to
up
third.
There, Nada? Yeah. I would recommend, do you live in New York right now?
No.
Austin. No, we're in Austin in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Get out of there.
the taxes, though.
We're in Charlotte?
In Austin.
Yeah. And the taxes in Austin are good. That's why we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, I think that you should, I mean, just from a standpoint of looking at a lifestyle, Austin is not a bad place. The barbecue is going to be better in Austin.
Yep.
But the quality of life is going to be better in Charlotte.
So.
I'm just telling you.
I agree.
All right. So I want to go back to you for a minute, Anton.
I want to stay in Charlotte.
We have some amazing researchers here, and they have found out that you studied under Tim Ferriss. And so we want to know, what are some of the big things that you learned from him?
Oh, the biggest. So that was, the 4-Hour Workweek book back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was really the fact that anybody can build an e-commerce store. You know, but before I started online and when I was running that delivery business, one of the ideas I had for a business was to build a like a for sale by owner real estate site on Long Island. And I remember meeting with like a development team on Long Island that had a shop out there, and they gave me a quote for, I think it was like $150,000 to build the website. Wow. I was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. But in my mind, I just thought that's what it really took to get online. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest lessons was there's platforms there that are almost like drag and drop type things that anybody with time could figure out. And the other was actually the introduction to AdWords. So in that book, The 4-Hour Workweek, he gave a pretty simple template for how to set them up. But that was enough for me to hit the ground running. So I would say those two things.
How much have you spent any face-to-face time with Tim Ferriss?
No, I haven't.
Got it.
So do you still only, like, do you have a 4-hour work week? What's your work week like now?
No, so for a while.
It sounds like you work 84 hours a week.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I actually, so I enjoy it. Like one of my hobbies is like doing this stuff. So right. I'm lucky in that sense. But, you know, when I was living out in Asia for like 4 or 5 years, I was probably working maybe an hour to two a day and just, you know, trying to learn that culture, not the language, but the culture, and just enjoying my time out there. Mm-hmm. And still at this point, the way that I do build the businesses is with that mindset where if I did want to, for any reason, like when I go on vacations and when I travel, I'm not, you know, on my computer all day, like maybe an hour, like checking in and everything. So definitely build with that mindset and that mentality. But again, like right now I'm in Austin. So today I'm going to work because I want to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
really cool. I think it's commendable, yeah. But it certainly requires you were very right, first of all, to say that it's not passive income, it's active income. Yes. That you have to work at it or it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, in order to get to a 4-hour work week or let's say a 10-hour work week, you have to work 50 or 60 hours to get it set.
Definitely.
And yep. I want to make sure that our diehards understand that there's no panacea here. Number one, you have to invest a few bucks. Number two, you have to put up the website that's going to be attractive. Number three, you have to understand the workings of Google today, not the Google of yesterday. And you have to have some way to be able to monitor everything so that you are the boss and responsible for not only the income, but the flow of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And even when it comes to outsourcing, because I do, like, a big part of the reason why if I want to, I can work, you know, an hour a day is because we have a great team. But you can't just start and say, okay, I'm going to have a team and they're going to do everything before I've done it myself. You need to know what's actually happening in the business.
100%. Yeah.
I'm a proponent of that as well. So I think you have hit it on the head, you know, for diehards. This is a lesson in opportunity. And do you want to capitalize or take advantage of an opportunity? And then once you do, do you understand what the potential outcomes are? Because I will guarantee you that as smart of a guy as this is, you've had one or two where you stubbed your toe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's why, like when I started, it was easy to get started. But along the way, I can't even count all the mistakes I've made and how many, you know, setbacks they've been. You're always, always learning.
That's cool.
And
I love
that. You have to have the setback in order to have made the right decision and have the right knowledge. A failure will teach you what not to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. If you have enough of them early on, you'll be very successful.
Yeah. And then hopefully you have them early on because that means you're not going to make them when you have more money to lose and more to risk. So make the mistakes as you're going and then, yeah, use the takeaways to not do that again.
Exactly.
What do you recommend for having an online platform of customer testimonials, customer responses to your business?
Mm-hmm. So we use Shopify. That's the e-commerce platform to build all of our stores.
Mm-hmm.
And they have basically they have an app store that allows you to plug in like different things like review templates. So we use the one, it's right from them. It's called Shopify Reviews. And that allows us to collect them on our website.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you use that data in anything other than glorification?
We use it to increase our conversion rates. So it's built into all of our autoresponders after we have purchases, starting, I think it's 7 days out, asking people for reviews. So we first ask for a text review. We also ask for video reviews if the product makes sense. And, you know, if the customer has anything negative to say, then we definitely act on that to improve. But whenever people are happy with us, which of course is the goal 100% of the time, we definitely show that off to stand out on our website.
What do you think incentivizes someone to give a review?
So what we do is offer different discount codes. So we'll say, you know, we saw you receive your order, hope you love it, and direct them to the review form. And we also say, you know, as a thank you, we'll give you a 10% off coupon code for future orders.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even with that, though, like the amount of reviews we get is like, I think we have 4 emails that ask for it and we incentivize it. And it's still low compared to the amount of orders because people, I don't know, they like to say they like to review things when they're bad and not when they're good usually. So, yeah, I wish it was everybody.
Do you ever call anybody on the phone?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We have someone on our team that does that. Even we have new orders come in. They call people just to thank them and let them know that we received it. And you know, the way it works now is like 98% of the time they're leaving voicemails, but we definitely reach out via the phone.
What do you do to counteract a negative review? And what should our diehards do?
So, I mean, the only thing really is it's annoying, but try to make it right even when the customer is wrong. And I'm not good at that. So we have someone that does that. But yeah, that's usually what it takes.
My statement has always been it never costs as much to fix the problem as it does to not fix the problem.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's what it is. Like some people, like you might know, like they're if you have a certain policy and they're going against it, and they think things should be one way, even if it's not your policy, you know, yeah. So, like if you're going to have a you know a 1-star review and they're going to leave reviews on 10 different websites, it's a lot better to lose the few hundred possible dollars than have that.
Exactly. You know, when people are mad, they're mad every place.
Exactly.
When they're happy, they're only happy 1 or 2 places.
Yep.
So. I know like you're saying like make it right, but so how, like give us some examples.
Yeah. So it would depend on the situation. Let's just say that on your website, you have a 30-day, you know, money back guarantee policy and someone places an order for $1,000 and has it shipped. Like this is, you know, something that's happened many times. They place an order for something and have it shipped to their second home in Florida. And they go there 3 months later and they look at it and they say, this thing's not the color I thought it was or something like that. And, you know, they know the policy and that should be, well, listen, it's been, you know, 60 days, 90 days, we have a 30-day return policy, but then they freak out and email you 10 times overnight and say, I'm leaving reviews everywhere. I'm calling the FBI, which I don't know why people say sometimes, but you know, and they're just going nuts. Like it's a lot easier to be like, okay, well, we'll take it back and deal with someone like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Why don't you just say the FBI has a no return policy?
Yeah.
Drop ship it to them.
Right.
Yeah.
they're too busy invading other people's homes.
Yeah.
but I think what you need to really look at here is what are the obstacles and what's the best solution for each one of them? Because there can't be more than 10.
No, there's not. There's not many things at all. Usually it's something possibly that the customer would want to return something if it's not what they thought it was going to be. And, you know, we have policies to make that easy anyway. So the only other thing would be sometimes it depending on the website, there might be the situation where the customer pays for return shipping if they don't want it. And even if that's clear everywhere on the website, if it costs, let's say $150 to ship back, they say, well, I'm not paying that. And same thing, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z and all that. Then sometimes it's better just pay the $150 and have it over with.
And you can't stop me. That's what I love. Right now, the internet is an unstoppable force.
Yep.
And people are going to go on it day and night. You know, you're going to get some kind of notification 2 o'clock in the morning that somebody's pissed off. And you have to respond in a way that gratifies them or that satisfies them to a point where they're going to stop.
Yeah.
And what we have found,
it's not worth the potential business. Like I mentioned, these are long term businesses. So if you're going to be in business for 10 years, you don't want one person and $150 of you know, expenses to
exactly to get exactly.
But what we found is the faster we respond and the more personally we respond, the more the customer thinks of you. Like they're mm-hmm. blown away. I called a guy who was disgruntled last night. I called him personally. He goes, wow, you have no idea how much this means to me.
And it was pretty funny because like it turns out he wasn't even really that upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, the emails are always way different than the way the phone calls go.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, this has been amazing. Where can people get more information about you and also your course?
Dropship.
Yeah, I have everything linked up off of dropshiplifestyle.com. So we do like a weekly video there and you can find the course and everything else. But yep, dropshiplifestyle.com.
And what?
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes too.
Yeah. But cool. Do you publish a weekly video? Is that what you're?
Yeah, we do. So we have a link for our courses there. And then I also do like a YouTube show every week. So we have all those linked on the blog. So lots of content just if people want to get more info and click around, see what we got there. And there's the contact page if you want to get in touch.
Diehards, if you actually go out and want to do this, could you keep us informed? Because I would love to know. I think that there's a tremendous opportunity that many of you are unhappy with your job, looking for someplace new. I'm sure there's a formula as to how much money you would need to crank it up. You probably need $25,000 or $50,000 to really get it rolling in the right direction. And no. Is that a close number?
No, you can get started for much, much less. So if you're going to do the work yourself, so like build the website yourself, which I would recommend, and, you know, like just put in the work, maybe give it a month or two of working like part time on getting everything set up, and then maybe $1,000 or $2,000 for traffic. But actual money in, there's not much that goes in.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Maybe we should do this on the side, phenomenal. Jeffrey.
So. yeah, we'll do it on the side, Jen.
Yeah, in our spare time.
Yeah, we have nothing to do.
No.
Yeah. We sit around all day and wait for
like,
shit.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Not as looking at us like, excuse you? What spare time?
No. We're going to just sit around and wait. Yeah. But here's the challenge. It's working. And you can't – the one thing we cannot deny, Anton, is your ability to succeed at it.
And I believe almost anything works just like this. If you're willing to put in the work and learn from the things that don't and keep moving forward, 100%. Yeah. Cool.
So diehards, we recommend you at least give this guy a click and see what's going on over there. All right, Anton, we are going to back out of here. Do not think that we do not appreciate you, because I'm telling you what, dude, we do.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
I will be placing my order for sofas shortly.
All right, thanks. Maybe I'll see you down in Charlotte.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe, rate, and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.